Yo, this is WrestleWolf, and I am your host, Damien Gibson. This is where we talk about all things professional wrestling, and occasionally WWE as well. Burn, Vince. So, a lot more people listening to the podcast all of a sudden. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. I can't help but feel that some people have come to the podcast due to the fact that I'm doing a podcast with my fiance, Kelly, and she is much more famous than me. So maybe you've come to this podcast because of that. Thank you. I kind of just rant about wrestling on this podcast. It's taken me 2.5 years to admit that. That's what this podcast will be. This is JYD from NYC without all the weird right-wing overtones. Let's get into it. News. Johnny Gargano is not injured. Now, there was a lot of talk about, Johnny Gargano's not being used, and then WWE were like, oh, he's injured. And then Johnny and a few other people at WWE said, no, he's not. He's just not being used and probably won't be until after SummerSlam. So, yeah, that was a good move, wasn't it, Johnny, to sign that extension? I mean, look, it's hard because at the time of Johnny re-signing his WWE contract, it was the summer of Hunter, and everybody was like, Triple H is the best, even though we kind of went over that last week, and I feel like I did a pretty good job of disproving the fact that he's not that great a booker. And if anyone's a great booker, it's a coincidence that the one story that Paul Heyman supposedly has a hand in is the one good story on WWE TV, right? Anyway, you would be spewing if you're Johnny Gargano and you've signed, because he's always been a Hunter guy, Hunters love Johnny, and then within weeks of Johnny declining a deal with AEW and staying with WWE, Vince comes back. There's been so many guys that Vince has just immediately disregarded because of their size, and Johnny is smaller than most of them. So I don't know when Johnny's contract runs out. They're usually 2 to 3 years. So if he signed it at the end of 2022, we're probably looking until the end of next year. But if Vince is around and having any say in the booking, I wouldn't expect to see much of Johnny Gargano at all. And it may become a thing where he asks for his release and they grant it to him. So he might leave earlier than that. But unless Hunter really goes into bat for Gargano, but I think he would have a hard time going into bat for a lot of the guys that he has on the roster at the moment. Like, remember what Vince did to Matt Riddle? Look, my point is, because this is mainly an AEW podcast, we mainly talk about AEW, I think eventually we will see Johnny Gargano in AEW. And, like, out of all the people who have come to AEW from WWE, I would have said that anyone on the roster, it would make sense for Gargano to come to AEW because he would be treated as what he is, a fantastic technical professional wrestler, and would be in and around the top of the main card at different times. Not all the time, but, would definitely be in and around there compared to the main roster in WWE where, he's mid-card, and that's only when Hunter is in charge. So with Vince coming back and, there's reports of things being pulled at the last minute and arguments between Hunter and Vince, I mean, it's a sloppy shop over there, and people are going to get overlooked anyway at the best of times, and Gargano is, yeah. Speaking of it being a sloppy shop, Drew McIntyre stated on the record this week that he has not re-signed with WWE. So his contract runs out in January. And yeah, said this week he hasn't re-signed. And basically said, you know, whatever happens, happens. But in the meantime, I'm giving 100% to WWE. That, you know, I'm reading between the lines here, but that the statement sounded 100% like someone who's leaving. So based on his statements and the tone of how he was saying it, you know, unless he's trying to play hardball with negotiations and try and scare WWE into giving him $1 trillion, I would expect him to be in AEW in February. So pretty interesting that two guys who AEW would be insanely interested in are obviously not being treated well. One's not being treated well as far as the booking is concerned, as far as their booking is concerned, and Drew's obviously very unhappy with what's been offered to him. Otherwise he would have signed his contract and he wouldn't be going out in the press and talking about it. But look, if you're a WWE fan, don't worry about it, because R-Truth's coming back from from injury soon, and you can expect to see him on TV in the next month or so. So that's exciting. Let's get into Dynamite. A fair bit happened this week in AEW wrestling. Keith Lee, there was a very interesting exchange between Darby Allin and Keith Lee at the beginning of this week's Dynamite, where Darby essentially put a rocket under Keith Lee and said, we want to see the old Keith Lee. Kind of, Darby was like this sort of analog for us, for the audience. It's like, we want to see NXT Keith Lee, and we got it. He wrestled an amazing match with Swerve Strickland. They lost that match. But I think, you know, they're sort of continuing the story between Swerve and Keith, which, you know, there's definitely some good matches there. I don't know. Yeah, maybe there's just been enough. It's probably, for me personally, there's probably been a bit too much time in between the first part of the story and the new part of the story. But anyway, either way, we got a new Keith Lee on Dynamite this week, and it was great. Interesting that Orange Cassidy and Darby as a tag team are sort of being made a thing at the moment, so it'll be interesting to see where that goes. I think they might win this Blind Eliminator tournament. Yeah. Oh, actually, MJF and Adam Cole. Yeah, that they might lose in the final to these two. But yeah, interesting. Interesting. Nick Wayne, it's announced that he is debuting this week. And look, I mean, he was offered a contract 2 years ago, so we've known that this is coming. I think everyone just sort of forgot that, like, oh yeah, the hottest wrestler in GCW is already signed a contract with AEW. He's just waiting for him to turn 18. So, yeah, great. Can't wait to see him. I've seen him wrestle a little bit in GCW, and he's a prodigy. So the thing with kids like that, Dante Martin is probably a good example, is that it takes a long time for people who aren't a natural, like unless you're a CM Punk or an MJF, although I watched some I watched some early Impact that CM Punk is on very briefly. And listen, Punk, you know, he's fine, but he wasn't the CM Punk that we know now, put it that way. So Nick Wayne seems to already have a very comfortable aura in and around the cameras, and that will hold him in really good stead to make a fast start in AEW. But I know, like, he'll come onto the scene and everybody will want him to win the AEW championship immediately. And if he doesn't, that's bad booking from Tony. Like, it would be amazing if Tony actually booked the way the internet wrestling community wanted him to, and he just changed the champion every week. Like, just imagine the backlash. Like, imagine the backlash if he actually listened to his fans and did what they wanted him to do. But anyway, it's not just hype. Nick Wayne is very, very good, and hopefully we get to see him wrestle this week. If not, it'll obviously be in the next couple of weeks. And the promo that was done this week, you know, a lot of that most of it is 100% true. That Nick Wayne's dad coached Darby Allin. Darby Allin has been like an older brother to Nick Wayne. And I think you don't have to do it initially, but I think there's definitely some storylines that could be mined there through their relationships with each other and stuff. So can't wait for that. I think it might, if it wasn't last week, it was the week before where I was talking about Chris Jericho needs a change. He needs something. And, look, a lot of the time with these sort of, you know, me putting my finger on the pulse of the booking or whatever, it is usually that this stuff is telegraphed and, you know, I end up convincing myself that I've somehow predicted what was going to happen. Even though it was very, very obvious what was going to happen. So I'm just so happy that Chris is doing something new. There was a promo between himself and he came down and said he probably needs to change things up, and this year has been a poor year for him. And I like that because it's showing that wins matter and losses matter, and to me, that's usually a sign of healthy booking when wrestlers are talking that way in kayfabe of like, well, you know, I've lost a bit. And good, you know, because a lot of the time that just gets overlooked. And then Don Callis comes down in the moment where Jericho is sort of vulnerable. You know, he needs a change, and then Don Callis comes down and says, we've been friends for a long time. Why don't you join the Don Callis family? So we've got a name for Don's faction that's going to take down the Elite. And who better to join that faction than Chris Jericho, who's been at war with Kenny Omega and the Elite since day one of AEW. In fact, you could probably say that has been the main storyline on and off throughout the history of AEW, the 3.5-4 years of AEW. It's either been Chris Jericho versus the Elite or Jon Moxley versus the Elite in some shape or form. I'm super looking forward to seeing what happens here. Don Callis is an immense talent, and I'm very, very glad that he's getting a main event shot as a manager, because he's the kind of person that... you see it. Like, he's in Canada. The nationalism towards someone like Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho has been immense from these Canadian crowds. So he's getting booed out of the building by fellow Canadians. So, as usual, Don Callis doing an amazing job. And I would love to see... I'd love to see Don Callis and Chris Jericho work together. I mean, just phenomenal. Two other people who are working amazingly well together are MJF and Adam Cole. This, probably from the get-go, I've enjoyed it, but I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I have here. We had a little promo on Dynamite this week of them going to the gym together and becoming friends. And there's also this other layer of, like, Roderick Strong is sort of continuously pointing out the obvious of, like, hey, Adam, you can't trust MJF, but he's like, MJF is doing something different again, of like this kind of like it's another shade of like the lower than a snake's belly guy. Like, he would literally do and say anything to get more power and more fame, and you know, he'll do and say absolutely anything to get what he wants. And this week was a great example of that. Like, he ingratiated himself with Adam Cole at the gym, where he's like cracking jokes about this overweight dude in the gym, and Adam Cole's like, you can't say that, but you know, they have a laugh about Tony Schiavone, and then MJF interrupts Cole and Strong talking through text message, and then later on they have a win in their tag match that they go through in this blind eliminator tournament. But it's Adam Cole's birthday, and MJF has put on this sort of surprise celebration for him. Those things are usually pretty lame. The WWE does them all the time, like birthday celebrations, championship win celebrations. Like, they fucking suck. There's always a cake. People always get shoved into it. And that happened here, but it was done in this sort of like meta way of like, you know, the tone of it was like, we all know this is lame, but don't worry about it. Like, it's not what you think it is. It isn't a company presenting this and saying, oh, isn't this sort of funny or cool? It's like, this is lame, but it's meant to look lame. It's the effort that Adam Cole appreciates. And at the end of MJF, like, has streamers and a cake, and, you know, Adam Cole ends up putting MJF's face in the cake because, of course, he does, and that's a little tip of the hat to WWE's shitty booking. And he sings Happy Birthday very well, my ad. He does have a good voice, MJF. And after all that, Adam Cole says, hey, Max, I really appreciate it. You know, you went to a lot of effort, and I do really appreciate it. And that was a moment. Adam Cole's little bit of acting right at the end there was like, ah, that's why Adam Cole's a star, because he has the ability to do that. You believed him. When he said to MJF, I really appreciate this, you believed that he did. I feel like it's inevitable where this story is going. They're going to... maybe it's not. I mean, it's the thing that has probably got the most amount of traction on social media at the moment is MJF and Adam Cole, even to the point where MJF's calling into Adam Cole's Twitch streams and stuff like that. Like, they're building something here, the two of them. And, you know, like, they could become a tag team of some ilk, you know. Anyway, it's really enjoyable stuff. Kenny Omega is in the main event of Dynamite, which is where he should be, but he should not be wrestling people like Wheeler Yuta. I'm going to keep banging on about this because it's not good, and I want AEW to be the best it can be. And as a fan and as a reviewer of wrestling now, like, I get published, I write reviews, they get published. You know, my opinion is that whenever I see Wheeler Yuta on screen, my instinct is to fast forward or turn off. And I don't take any pleasure out of saying this. And it's not even really it's not even really Yuta's fault. I just don't believe him. Like, the BTC is meant to be the hardest guys in AEW, which is meant to be, you know, outside, like, it's meant to be the harder promotion in comparison to WWE. And you've got this sort of very nice, skinny, softly spoken boy just hanging around with these other three trained killers. And I just don't believe him. I just don't. You know, it would have made, I mean, he wasn't with the company by this stage, it would have made much more sense to have a Joey Janela join that team, and they try and discipline Joey and almost strip his personality away from him so he becomes this sort of like drone of them, and then eventually he could break out of that. It's a much more interesting story than we've just decided we like this kid and we're going to put him over. You know, I don't even really see the technical chops to make him be like, oh, well, he's you know, he's Bryan Danielson's understudy. So, you know, that's what's it, because Garcia's a better, Daniel Garcia's a better technical wrestler. You know, if we're looking at those young guys, Sammy is, MJF is a better technical wrestler than Yuta from what I can see. So anyway, look, it was fine, and it all led to the Elite and BCC and Dark Order. And again, like, you know, Dark Order being involved in this is interesting. I think they need to be, like me personally, after Blood and Guts, I want the story to become the Dark Order versus the Elite. Some people might see that as too small time a story, but I think you've been telling that story for 3.5 years. You could actually start to pay it off. And I trust that AEW will do something with that, because they are usually pretty good with long-term storytelling. I'm gonna just skip Rampage this week. There is a good match at the end of the show, if you're looking to check it out. Big Bill and Brian Cage, of all people, versus Matt Sydal and Trent Barretta. Really, really good match in the main event of Rampage. So I would go check that out on the YouTube page, or if you've got it, if you've got Rampage floating around, you can check that out. Let's jump on to Collision. Really, the three main beats here is that Ricky Starks beats Powerhouse Hobbs to make the final of the Owen tournament. Bullet Club Gold beat FTR in the championship eliminator match, so we will now get a tag championship match between Bullet Club Gold, so Jay White and Juice Robinson, versus FTR. I am a massive FTR fan. I am literally wearing one of their t-shirts right now as I record this. I think the right rein to pull very quickly is to have Bullet Club Gold win this. And then, you know, maybe have the Guns go after at some point or something like that. But, or you have FTR try and win it back off them. You know, have the baby faces chase the heels rather than the other way around. Because it always makes for a much more interesting story, and the payoff is better when the good guys reach the summit. But the match itself was so close. I was so close to giving it a 5-star review on Pro Wrestling Review. It was, I think I ended up giving it 4.5. But it's an amazing match. It goes for about 40 minutes, 45 minutes, just dead smack in the middle of Collision. And another reason why you should be watching Collision if you're not. You know, I'm an AEW mark, so like I'll probably say that you should watch everything that they do. Rampage, I'm at the point now where you're like, you can just let Rampage go, man. Collision is genuinely good shit, and you should watch that. And then the main event, we had CM Punk versus Samoa Joe. Again, this was another great match. Punk was getting the absolute shit beaten out of him by Joe here over the course of the match. Punk was trying all of his tricks and none of them were working, and he kind of just managed to Hulk out right at the end and get a roll up and get the win. And then Joe showed, like, you know, because they were coming from Ring of Honor, Joe looked like he was going to adhere to the code of honor, and Punk went to do it, and then Joe beat him down. We had FTR come down, and then Ricky Starks came to the ramp and was sort of gave this look of like, well, you know, we can't be friends anymore, Punk, because we're going up against each other for the Owen Cup. And so there's an economy of storytelling on Collision that I really like. You know, they built up Ricky Starks and CM Punk hanging out, being friendly from the first episode. So it's only been 4 episodes. And now on the 5th episode, you know, they've got to wrestle each other. But that's enough. That you don't need, you know, it may be slightly rushed to build on it too much in the final. Like, these guys are best friends, but they're friendly. You know, they like each other and they've got to wrestle each other. And that's how you have a dual babyface championship match, where it's like, well, there's mutual respect there, but they've got to put it to one side to win this match. And then they'll just have a great match. And that seems to be what Collision's about, just having great matches with pretty solid storytelling. It's not too convoluted. And when you sort of compare it to Dynamite, which can be a little cluttered at times, where as much as I sort of enjoy it, but you'll have like the BCC and then the Dark Order come out and then the Elite. And, you know, if you're trying to explain to someone who everybody is, it's too complicated. I mean, it can be too much, but it can also be very exciting. But I think there's, like I say, there's an economy of storytelling on Collision that I appreciate. I really like. But yeah, I'm going to leave that there. That's the week in AEW wrestling. We've got a Ring of Honor pay-per-view coming up. They've announced that Claudio versus Mark Briscoe will be the championship match. I think you could actually probably take that championship off Claudio and get him out of Ring of Honor. And also, it would be nice to make Mark world champion, given the events that have happened in his life in the last 6 months or so. But yeah, we'll get to that soon. I've got a few things in the pipeline for the podcast as well. Might be doing some retro reviews with my sister, who's a very funny lady, who's got back into watching old pay-per-views recently while she's just had a baby. She's doing a lot of feeding and all this sort of stuff and just watching it while she's doing that. So we'll maybe try and do some old pay-per-views, Royal Rumble 92, WCW around that time's a lot of fun. So that sort of thing. And I've also working on a sort of Desert Island Disc wrestling show. So that'll be coming soon as well. So a fair bit in the works. But in the meantime, I'll be doing the weekly show where I just sort of talk about what's happening in the news and what was happening on AEW and what I liked and what I didn't like. It kind of makes for a shorter episode because I kind of liked everything that was done on Dynamite and Rampage on Dynamite and Collision this week, that there were very few missteps. So I'm not hoping for those, but it does make for slightly better content when things go wrong. But this week, good Dynamite, good Collision. Good Dynamite, good Collision. Until next time, my friends, enjoy your wrestling, and I'll talk to you next week.